Well, Len, it's been a crazy week. A lot of different things golf-wise. Who knows? Maybe some of the best entertainment might have been some of the back and forth in the press conferences, especially the guys who have joined the LIV series of golf, trying to answer those questions. But you know what? A little surprise today, and that is we have our very own local Northbrook player, Nick Hardy, in contention at the U.S. Open. At first, he didn't even make it through the sectional qualifying, but was the first alternate and was quickly added to the field, and it's paying dividends.
Yeah, I tell you, the on the first part, I think it's a shame, really, that the U.S. Open has been at the big distraction with the LIV Tour and the Saudi Tour and the players being so thoroughly questioned about that. When this is the U.S. Open, I mean, this is really the one of the at least one of the four majors, and to me, it's the probably the number one major that's out there. On the good side, I'm really happy for Nick. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he continues to contend. You got to remember, this is his fourth U.S. Open. He played in a U.S. Open when he was 19 years old and made the cut. So you know, while he hasn't won as a pro yet, he's done other than a mini tour event. He's got some experience out there, and he's got a lot of momentum going. He had that coming into this U.S. Open, and he's shown it very well in these two rounds.
Well, the good news is he will safely make the cut, and I suspect, regardless of wherever he finishes, he will at least get another outstanding paycheck this week, and that's always a good thing for a young player. You know, we take a look at the leaderboard here on Friday afternoon, and with one hole to go, Rory's pick to win the tournament, Colin Morikawa, is leading by one shot over Hayden Buckley. Defending champion John Rahm is only one shot back with one more hole to play this afternoon. And then Joel Dahmen, who enjoyed some time in 2019 prior to teeing it up at Medina in the BMW Championship, went out and golfed with the caddies, spent some time at our good friend Ed Stevenson's preserve at Oak Meadows, and raved about the golf course. So, anyway, it's an exciting leaderboard. Of course, Nick Hardy at 3 under par in the clubhouse. Scottie Scheffler, the Masters champion, is also 3 under par. Those two could end up playing together in Saturday's round three. So, anyway, it's pretty exciting. Rory McIlroy still on the golf course with 3 holes to play, and I suspect that you know, he'll make it interesting before it's over. If he picks up another shot, then again, he'll be right there in those top 5 players. And Rory, you know, after the way he played last week, I suspected a good week. But more often than not, he hasn't been able to put 2 victories together back-to-back, especially at clutch times of the year. And I'm not sure he'll win it, but I suspect he'll be in the mix.
Oh, no question about it. I think the interesting thing about the leaderboard for me right now, just looking at it now with, you know, still a lot of golf to be played, but there's Nick Hardy right up there with 3 guys, tied with 3 guys who have won majors. Keegan Bradley, Scottie Scheffler, and Rory McIlroy. I mean, that's pretty giddy stuff for a young kid like Nick, and he's positioned to do really well. So this would really be a huge boost. It could be a career maker, right, for him.
Well, it would be nice if, first of all, again, you know, we mentioned a paycheck, but it would also be nice if he could finish in the, I believe it's the top 16, and get that automatic exemption back into the U.S. Open next year and not even have to go through qualifying. That's something that I know a lot of players look for, but you know, if he was actually able to win the golf tournament, there you go. There's a 5-year exemption into pretty much anything you want to play in, and he'd get a whole bunch of President's Cup team points and Ryder Cup team points and, you know, a whole bunch of good things that come with it. So it'll be real interesting, and it'll be fun to sit back and watch Nick Hardy play this weekend. Maybe the tournament of a lifetime here for him. So anyway, from Len, from what you've seen, what's your thoughts on the golf course, the country club? You know, it's been a while since we've seen that Ryder Cup there years ago. People forget that over 20 years has gone by since we had that exciting finish. And of course, there was a U.S. Open that carried over to Monday with Curtis Strange and Nick Faldo. That even goes back a lot further than that. So it is nice to see the country club, even though it did get a little TV time when it hosted, I believe, the U.S. Amateur, won by Matt Fitzpatrick, who spent a couple of months at Northwestern before turning professional. But at the same time, though, it's at least been several years since we've seen golf at that facility.
Well, you know, the thing that always strikes me about when the country club is mentioned, I mean, there's been some big moments, of course, at that course. You've mentioned them just here. But the most, probably if you go back in golf history, the most significant golf tournament in American golf was played here in 1913 when Francis Ouimet beat Ted Ray and Harry Vardon for the U.S. Open. He was just a 20-year-old kid living across the street from the golf course. And I noticed that his home is still there. I mean, he's long since passed on, of course. But that I can't think of anything, if you look on into the all the ages of golf history, I don't know if there has been a bigger, more surprising, more whatever, significant victory than when Francis was the winner over the two stars from England. So, history is always a big deal in golf, and I don't know. I'm not sure. So sure that the country club might have the biggest event of them all.
Well, Len, yesterday I took the drive up to Wisconsin to visit the historic club at Lac La Belle in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, about 35 miles west of Milwaukee. And they've got some great historical things there on the wall, the history of the club and other things that have happened there, because the original nine holes opened for golf in 1896. And they hosted a tournament, I believe, just a couple of years later when a bunch of pros complained about money. And, well, they brought the tournament up there and went and played there for more money, as there was a dispute with the U.S. Open and the Western Open and all sorts of things. But what a surprise. A whole bunch of professionals refused to play over the amount of money and had an opportunity to go play somewhere else for money and more money. Geez, what a surprise. Where have we ever heard that before? And, well, this is 1899 or so. And you know what? Here we are today. These things seem to continue.
The answer to this one is some things never change. And it's odd that one comes up now with all the Live Tour stuff going on. And, it's really it's a distraction that I don't have a side in it. I'm just, if it was any other week of the year, I probably wouldn't think so much about it. The Live Tour is going to be going head to head with one of its tournaments, with the John Deere Classic, our main tournament in Illinois this year. So then it'll be a conflict there again, too, because we'll be talking about, be a topic to talk about during that week. You know, it's one of those things, I guess, you hear about these athletes wanting to make more money and all that in other sports. Why not golf? I mean, they certainly make enough of it, but it's just the way the world is right now, I guess.
Well, Len, as one player agent said anonymously to a reporter, there are players in sports like baseball and the NBA who rarely see the field, and these guys sit there on the bench, and they're making as much money or more money, maybe even a million or 2 million more than guys who have had a great season on the PGA Tour. So I don't know. Can you blame somebody for wanting to go do their job and make more money doing it? I can't. All I know is, with the work I do and the work you do, we probably both wish that somebody would pay us more than, what we're getting paid to do right now. But you know what? You mentioned the Live Series going head-to-head with one of our tournaments, John Deere. Well, the Live Series is going to be one of our tournaments in September. And now that this thing is launched, now that we're starting to see who some of the players are, some of the players who are going to be on that tour, it's coming across as we might have a lot more excitement than we planned on by the time the Live Series actually gets to Jerry Rich's Rich Harvest Farms in September.
There's no question about that. I tell you, I thought that the telecast of the first tournament in London, the Live Series tournament in London, I thought they did an excellent job broadcasting that. I thought that was I was very intrigued as to how that would be handled. And they did a lot of good things, some of which, I might add, I thought were the PGA Tour itself and the networks that cover golf for on behalf of their tournaments should take note of. And, you know, there's something to learn from them. I thought the way they put the leaderboard on TV, I thought they showed more players that way. I thought that was a good thing. So, you know, it's a factor. It's not just a fly-by-night thing. They got a tournament off the ground. Now maybe conversations about it should have more substance than what they've had so far. So it's, I hate to see it conflict with the John Deere Classic, although I doubt for this particular John Deere Classic that it would affect the field very much. But, it's a factor in golf now. I don't think it's such a bad thing that there's a tour, worldwide tour type of thing going on. I hope it doesn't detract from the majors. I don't think it will in the long haul, but it's the nature of golf today. It's something more to talk about, I guess.
Well, while we're talking about the USGA and the US Open, last week they actually made some news in between the Women's Open and the Men's Open, and they broke ground at the Pinehurst Resort and Country Club down in beautiful Pinehurst, North Carolina, where they are going to build their new museum and their new testing facility. And I think a lot of golfers will enjoy that, you know, looking in through the windows as the USGA team tests new products, tests new golf balls, tests new clubs to see if they should be conforming and be able to be used in professional golf or maybe even just for amateurs everywhere. But, you know, they've broken ground. They've talked about this for over a year, and now the construction has started, and it'll be anxious on, at least I will be, on my next visit to Pinehurst to see how far these facilities have progressed once they, they put the roof on the building and they open the doors.
Yeah, you know, I was in Pinehurst for one of my golf travel destination reports that I do on the internet or whoever else will run them. But it was unfortunate that I missed by just a few days of seeing the groundbreaking when the groundbreaking had been announced. I think that, you know, everything seems to be done golf-wise. It's all done right in Pinehurst. And I think it's a great place, a better place than where the USJ has operated in Far Hills, New Jersey for so long. I think it'll be a better climate, a better atmosphere. I think it's a great move by the USGA. And like you, I make pretty regular stops at Pinehurst, at least annually, and looking forward to seeing where things are going there.
Well, and I didn't get as much of an opportunity as I had hoped to watch the U.S. Women's Open at Pine Needles, but the part that I did see, it looked like some great golf. Always nice to see the best players in the world, whether it's the men or the women, compete on these older historic Donald Ross golf courses. And I think the Kyle Franz renovation of that golf course was pretty darn good. If there was any surprises to me, I thought Annika Sorenstam might be more of a factor than she was. I was kind of surprised to see her shoot 13 over par and miss the cut by a mile. I thought she at least be in contention, even if she didn't win. And for the first time, I think in a few years, we have a winner who is not from South Korea with Minji Lee. She may sound like she's from South Korea, but they tell us she's from Australia. So anyway, there was some good excitement out there, and it was nice to see the girls get a great track to play.
Yeah, I had two takes on that one. I, like you, I felt I was surprised that Annika, you know, she came on after not playing for 13 years. I thought she did quite well in the events she played in last year, and I was hoping that it would help golf a lot if they had another storyline, and Annika could well be it. The other thing that I think is worth noting, I was sorry to see that. I mean, it's understandable, but I was sorry to see that Michelle Wee is apparently going to, at least for a while, not play golf. She's a mama now, and But she was a real good story in golf, both on, like Anacon, both when she competed against the men and when she was a, you know, she wasn't the pro player that, that Annika was, but a player that, I think people were interested in following. And the LPGA needs more players like that out there even now. I suspect we'll see her playing again on a limited basis as the years pass, but it won't be quite the same. She's really done an awful lot in a very few years, if you think about it, as a professional player. So wish her the best, and I hope we'll see her back out there again playing well.
Well, Len, one thing that coincides with the U.S. Open is Father's Day weekend, and I know we've talked about this before, but let's share them again. Our thoughts on you've got a dad or a grandfather or an uncle or somebody that you want to get a golf present for because they love to play. Any thoughts on a Father's Day golf gift idea?
Well, of course, my dad is long past, but he was an avid golfer, not a good one. He was, I think I was even a little better than him, and I don't claim to be a contender for anything significant. But, I think that the nicest golf gift was done by my brother-in-law, was created for my brother-in-law, who lives in Wisconsin. He has three sons, and they pitched their money together last year and created a father and three sons foursome to take him out there to play. Now, my son-in-law, Joe, he was, had a little health problem last year and decided he just couldn't do it. But he, I think trying to arrange a father-son golf game or even father-daughter, whatever, that shows the best spirit of Father's Day. And, I never really did that with my dad to arrange a game. I never really thought about it, but I think that, you know, we had our own family gatherings, family dinners, going out to dinner and stuff, and had a nice time. But I think that's something that makes it really something special. I'm giving advice to much younger people than me right now, but I think that that would be a real good gift, is to arrange a golf game, be it nine holes, be it a championship course, be it on just a regular par three course, for instance. I think it'd be make for a most memorable personal day.
Well, Len, a wonderful idea there. Just a couple of thoughts I have. If Dad has been struggling with his game, purchase him a lesson. Maybe give him a couple of new things to think about so he plays a little better on the golf course. If his favorite golf shirts have seen their better days, can go online to a lot of great places and just simply get a nice new golf shirt. You know, I see a lot of people coming into Heritage Oaks in Northbrook where I work, and, you know, I see a lot of golf shirts that look like they've been in somebody's closet for more than a decade, maybe almost two, and you almost say, hey, you know what, we've got wonderful new apparel in the pro shop since we've reopened from the renovation. Why not get yourself a golf shirt? And you know what, a golf shirt is never a bad idea, or these days with all the hot weather we've had and more on the way this coming week, a new golf hat is never a bad idea to keep the sun off of somebody's head. So just a couple of thoughts I have had there. Len, you know what? Another thing that we have going on here, and, you know, we love talking golf on Golfers on Golf Radio in its 32nd year, but we have two golf TV shows. One of them, Steve Cashel's The Golf Scene, believe it or not, has been around 29 years. It's one of the longest running golf shows in America. And also Dave Lockhart's Golf 360 TV is back again. And I think if you're interested in seeing some travel destination place features on TV and equipment things and hear from the local pros, I think we're fortunate to have two quality TV golf shows here in the Chicago area.
Oh, no doubt we are. In fact, I heard from Dave Lockhart today, and I got a personal touch on that one because I have done a piece that it took me a while to do, and a piece I think I'm pretty proud of is on the changes at Medina Country, coming at Medina Country Club's number three course. And Dave is going to tackle that very subject in one of his upcoming shows on Golf 360. He's been continuing to upgrade and bring in different things with his show. So I think it's going to, I'm really, of course, on a personal level, interested in seeing what the Lynx Man has to offer down the road here.
Well, I enjoyed the first edition of The Golf Scene with Steve Cashel because I just came back from Eagle Ridge last month, and they had a feature on Eagle Ridge, and starting to see some of the changes that I've been talking about online and we've talked about on Golfers on Golf Radio on the TV. So things are, of course, as we've mentioned, happening in Galena. Len Ziem, you have been out traveling around, and we talked about your stop in Pinehurst. We talked about your stop in Myrtle Beach, but you've been bouncing all around Michigan here for over a week. What have you seen?
Boy, you know, I have seen a lot, and we've played 11 straight days of golf, Joy and I. We had a very nice stay at all places. We had 5 days in Gaylord, Michigan, for what they call the Gaylord Golf Mecca. And I hadn't been to that event for, it's a media event that's held annually for about 30 years now. And I hadn't been there for a little while, but I found that Michigan golf is just excellent for anybody who is looking for a close-in trip. I tell you, I've got to recommend Michigan, and I think the world of it. You know, then we were at Gull Lake, Lakeview this week, played Stoughton Bray, which is maybe one of the very best links courses in the United States. It's been well ranked and everything. And now we're about to finish the trip up, and we're looking forward to getting back to Chicago. But we've got three or four days here left in the Traverse City area before we depart. I have never had we've been doing these golf things for 13 years, travel destination things, and I've never been in one state that long for that many rounds, but it's been a lot of fun. I must be getting too old for it because I'm a tired puppy right now, but we're looking forward to finishing this one up and getting to Chicago and seeing all you people.
Well, Len, I got to tell you that I know that you love the golf travel stuff, but you've always been a longtime birdies and bogeys guy. And we've had some tournaments here. We had the Illinois Women's State Amateur Tournament just down the road from your old haunt here up in at Long Grove at the Grove. And also coming this week, the Women's Western Golf Association, their junior tournament is on tap. We also had the Radix Cup at Oak Park, won by the CDGA Amateurs this year. First time they've won in a couple of years, beating the Illinois PGA Professionals. The Illinois PGA also hosted its Assistance Professional Championship. And we've got a few assistants that are going to go to that national version of that tournament down in your old neck of the woods in PGA Village at some point. And, you know, I got to tell you, Len, tournaments are starting to happen around here. And not only that, we also have, you mentioned John Deere earlier in the podcast. John Deere now less than 30 days away from teeing off. As a matter of fact, I think only about 15 days out at this point, or 14 days, and we'll have the John Deere Classic back.
Well, I'll be at the John Deere Classic for sure, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be at a few of the Chicago stops as well. I mean, our stay this year, it's been a funny year because I felt that the travel stops were important to get back on the road with them because the pandemic situation and all kind of short-circuited us a little bit. But we're going to stay in the Chicago area just as long as we can. Golf in Chicago this year, it's been, you know, for overall tournaments, it's been a comparatively quiet year, although, as you said earlier, the LIV tournament over at Rich Harvest Farms is going to change that. Has the potential to change that a little bit come September, putting kind of a crowning moment on golf and golf tournament scene in Chicago for 2022. But anyway, we're looking forward to getting back. The travel beat has been great. Golf has been excellent in Michigan and every place we've been. There's been a lot of enthusiasm in Pinehurst and Myrtle Beach, and I'm sure it'll be every bit as good, if not better, in Chicago again.
Well, Len, finally, before we putt out today, earlier this week, we sort of had even though it's been open for a while, smile, a soft opening. We sort of had the official grand opening of the new clubhouse at the Preserve at Oak Meadows. And for a lot of people who've put in a lot of work there for years and years of getting a clubhouse back, some almost now 14 years after the original one there burned down, it was nice to see that open. We had some speeches that day, and golf course architect Greg Martin was there. And with the golf course going to host the Illinois Senior Open here in a couple of weeks, Illinois PGA Executive Director Kerry Williams came and spoke. Director of Golf Ed Stevenson spoke. We heard from some of the board of directors and the board president, but all around it was really great to see the official reopening of that clubhouse. And boy, it is a good one. And I can tell you this, Lenzeem, they've got about a dozen local brews on tap that are made out there in DuPage County, and I think you better sample a few of them because they taste pretty good.
Well, between those brews over there and Lynx Lager, I tell you what, it could be a lot of big good party time coming to the Chicago area. It's going to be fun. We're going to see as many people as we possibly can, and we certainly want to see all of our golf friends as much as we possibly can in the next few weeks.
Well, that does it for this week's edition of Zeem and Spears. And Len, hopefully we'll be talking to you face-to-face here in town, and we're looking forward to doing a couple of podcasts with you done live over at the Heritage Oaks Golf Club in Northbrook. They are jumping on as Golfers on Golf and Len Zeem on Golf as sponsors, and we're thrilled to have them.